had the pleasure of meeting you. My name is Lydia Pringer, and I have been a part of Sanctuary since 2018. I have had the pleasure of serving on our worship team here and writing some devotions, and now I am honored to join you all today to share the word. A little bit about me. I was born and raised in Dayton, Ohio. I moved to Chicago to attend Moody Bible Institute, and while there, I got a bachelor's in urban ministry with a minor in Bible and got a master's in biblical and theological studies from the seminary there. I lived in Chicago for 6 years and then decided to move home to be closer to my family, and I'm honored to have my parents with me today and my dear Aunt Chris. I currently work at a nonprofit in affordable housing where we specifically work in the South Side and Linden neighborhoods. God has been working in my heart over time to grow a love of teaching. I'm grateful to Pastor Rich for inviting me to speak today, and I'm also grateful for Micah Morgan and my Aunt Chris, specifically for encouraging me to cultivate my gifts. And this brings us here to this morning of preaching. What a pleasure it is to close out our series on essential women in Jesus' story. Earlier in our series, we heard about Elizabeth, who prepared the way for Jesus' coming. The week after that, we heard about Mary, whose life was transformed. And last week, we heard about the midwife, who likely helped birth Jesus into the world. Today, we will get to know the prophet Anna. You may be thinking to yourself, who is that again? And you're not the only one to think that. Today we're going to flash forward into the story of when Jesus was about 48 days old and Mary and Joseph would have brought him to the temple where they encountered two faithful people, one of them being Anna. We will take some time to get to know her and learn a few lessons from this godly woman. Before we get started, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today. God, we come with our whole selves as we are before you and ask that we may be fully present in this moment. Thank you for communing with us in the day today, and may our hearts be softened and ears opened to receive your word. Lord, be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Read today's passage. We're going to start a little bit before the section where Anna comes in order to get the greater context. So we'll start in Luke 2, verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. The prophet Anna is introduced here with great detail. She's an elderly woman in her 80s, a widow, a prophet who lives in the temple. She was present at the opportune time when the Holy Family came to the temple. She heard what the Holy Spirit communicated through Simeon and was on scene at that very moment. Now, Anna was someone who could have been written off due to her age, her marital status, lack of an address, but we see she's actually a significant part of the story. My main idea I want to tell you about today is that God makes our stories worthwhile. That's also the title of our sermon, God Makes Our Stories Worthwhile. As I was preparing this sermon, I needed to sit with Anna for a bit. Who is this woman? I see the three relatively short verses and all the details packed therein about her life, but what is God revealing here? What do I observe about Anna? And a reflection question came up for me. Just as Anna spoke over the life of Jesus, who has spoken over my life? What people can I recall that made a significant impact on me? Two people came to mind immediately. The first is my eighth grade homeroom teacher, Mrs. Cooper. She and I bonded after going through what I now know to be a life-altering season for me. One of my friends had opened up to me about their depression and suicidal thoughts. I was heartbroken and overwhelmed, and I remember the heavy weight of anxiety in my chest for the first time as I considered our own mortality. I felt for my friend, but at the same time knew there wasn't anything I could really do for them besides listen and be present. I went with this friend to talk with Mrs. Cooper after school. They were able to get help and take some steps to ensure that my friend was safe. Mrs. Cooper began to disciple us on reading scripture and how to navigate this stage of life. We went through a proverb a day and what verses to look up when feeling specific emotions or situations. She spoke into my life as my faith was just starting to become real to me, to become my own. The second woman who spoke over my life at that time was Mrs. Jacks. She was a middle-aged woman at our church who taught Sunday school. And I remember having very deep conversations with her about the details of the book of Judges or what the Holy Spirit was doing in the global church. She also shared very real elements of her life with our class. Her on and off attempts to quit smoking came up occasionally, promising this time was real, or that she was divorced and had an adult daughter and grandson that she helped care for. She didn't fit a typical mold of the model youth minister, but she cheered me on by making me feel welcome and competent in spaces of prayer and ministry. She spoke over my life in my growing relationship with God. Now, both of these women actually share similarities with Anna. We never know what element of our own life story might connect with someone else to impact them. God makes our stories worthwhile by using unexpected people or circumstances to bring about moments of encountering him. God put Anna into Christ's infant narrative as an essential woman. The author of today's passage, Luke, loved to share the details about people. Anna's story may seem rather inconsequential at first pass, but will you pause with me and spend some time in it? My hope is that you'll see there's so much here. First, let's take a look at verses 36 to 37. There are a lot of features of her life to break down. Most notably, right at the beginning, Anna is a prophet. There are less than 10 named female prophets in Scripture. The majority are men. This is an elite group of women that one might not expect her to be a part of, yet here she is, a woman of virtue. Next, another observation is that we see that Anna is an elderly widow. Luke gives us a bit of backstory. Anna was only married for 7 years before her husband died. At that time in the world, a woman would have probably gotten married when she was about 14 years old. This would have meant that she was widowed at age 21, which would leave her without a husband for 6 decades of her life after that. She was robbed of the future life that would have been hers as a wife or mother. Being single again was not only the loss of a person, but also a loss of place in the world. In verse 37, we see that Anna had no address of her own. She lived in the temple, never leaving. Anna would have spent most of her time in what ancient historian Josephus described as the women's court. This was a section just outside the temple holy place where male and female Jews could come, bring their families, and offer their sacrifices. Because Anna lived there, it would be assumed that she did not have any family or children to take care of her. What a story. There was nothing particularly glamorous about this life described. Perhaps she would have wanted to live in her own home, maybe trade her own goods, have her own life. Instead, her story drastically changed. I imagine Anna likely felt moments of not wanting this to be her lot in life. But the pain of these experiences did not overtake her. God did not let the circumstances diminish Anna or her story. Let's pause here to reflect on all the details that Luke offered about her life thus far. Anna is a prophet, a widow, elderly, without an address to call her own. There are dozens of verses about the Lord's heart for widows and orphans, even though Anna's life did not go how she probably would have anticipated. God protected her and provided for her. The prophet Anna was named, uplifted, and her life mattered. Moving into verse 37, we observe that she never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Anna found true refuge in the temple. This verse tells us that she was fully and completely dependent on the temple and her Jewish community. Notice that she received much from them, a home, a place, a purpose. She had a strong community that she drew strength from. Imagine going through everything described in these verses and having that community to fall back on. What a comfort in the midst of immense trials. And despite those trials, Anna gave back. Circumstances did not rob her of her contribution to her community. Anna was prayerful, interceding, prophesying, fasting. She actively participated in the life of the temple in significant and profound ways. Regardless of how old she was or how empty people may have thought her to be, she contributed. Her days had meaning. Anna was attentive to the Holy Spirit and ready to engage with people who came to the temple. In verse 38, it says, Anna listened the day Simeon proclaimed by the power of the Holy Spirit that the Messiah had finally come for the Jews and the Gentiles. She heard what was being declared, and at that very moment, she went up to them. Anna proclaimed praises and spoke about Jesus to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. Which brings us to our third observation and a question. Can you imagine the anticipation, the longing, the desperate desire for the Messiah to come that the Jews would have felt at that time? Take a moment and think about the pent-up waiting for Jesus that the Jews had collectively experienced. They were longing desperately for the Messiah to rescue them from the Roman government that was ruling. As a prophet, I imagine Anna would have got frequent questions from people coming to the temple, wondering when the Messiah would come to save them. Israel had waited decades upon decades for their Savior. longing for the redemption of their people. Anna must have felt like she was waiting a particularly long time since she was well into her 80s. Imagine what joy must have burst through her when she finally heard Simeon's declaration by the power of the Spirit that the Messiah was here in front of her. Anna shows us that encountering Jesus in this way is certainly news worth waiting for. Maybe there are seasons where we are waiting for good news, waiting and longing for righteousness to reign in an unjust world, for joy to come in the morning. I bet Anna felt that. Praise God, for the awaited promise was fulfilled. Let's step back from these details for a moment and observe as a whole Anna. Her marital status did not define her. Her loss did not define her. Her pain did not define her. Her age did not define her. All these elements of her life were worthy to be recorded and included in Scripture in Christ's infant narrative. We see a woman who was active in her community, giving back and enthusiastically proclaiming Christ. You may say that you are unqualified because of your state of life. Maybe a failure, maybe a nobody. But no, the details of your life are significant to the glory of God. Anna's life as a prophet is a story of both actively waiting and working. We see women in the church continue to do this today. Women have faithfully served as the organizers, the initiators, the designers, the prayer warriors. Church would not be the same if not for the equal gifts given to God's image bearers. Think back to the two ladies I spoke about at the beginning who were significantly impactful in my life. Neither of them had particularly glamorous stories or catchy, quotable quotes, but they were present in the moment and spoke faithfully over me. The details of their stories, prophetically speaking into a hard situation, fighting addiction, maybe not fitting into an expected mold of youth ministry, still added up to be part of a meaningful impact in my life. God takes what we may not consider especially notable and crafts a story worth impacting another life. The details do matter. And how does this impact you? Don't let anyone say that you are unqualified or useless because of your state of life. Maybe you've been waiting, but you weren't available to God. Maybe you've been in a valley and you can't see the way out. God doesn't necessarily use what is obvious to proclaim good news. Even in your situation, it might not be obvious yet, but consider how Anna's life evolved. She found purpose and contribution even while waiting for the promise to be delivered. Like Anna, we will not be left empty. God will fulfill his promise to satisfy our souls. In Matthew 5:6, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." His words of comfort to us in the Beatitudes are ours to proclaim over our lives. And here's the thing. We know the rest of the story. We know the gospel story. Jesus also lived an unexpected life. He did not overthrow the Roman government, and instead, he taught us to turn the other cheek. What? There was another day that he was brought to the temple. He was wrongfully accused of blasphemy and sentenced to death. He was unjustly beaten, abandoned, embarrassed, and then brutally died. At a glance, a passerby would have written him off as just another disgraced criminal.
But then he rose again, victorious over death, taking all the suffering and pain and rewriting the story, giving us new life in him and hope of his kingdom come. So I ask you, who better to proclaim praise for the life of Jesus than Anna, a woman who also knew suffering? Who better to proclaim Jesus than a woman who had waited for the Lord's coming? Who better to proclaim the promised one is here than the woman who knew exactly what it meant to be fully dependent on God in her weakness? God chose Anna to close out this story about baby Jesus. All her details and specific life circumstances introduce us to the moment that she introduces the one who will save our souls. Amen. I really believe that God weaves our darkest nights and our brightest days into the most beautiful stories. And so I leave you with this. How will you be prepared the moment when you encounter Jesus? I imagine there might be some older folks here who are thinking their time of being involved is done. Or there are probably some single people here who are waiting to arrive once their relationship status changes. Or how many people have experienced loss? You can't picture what a time looks like when this grief is transformed. Whatever circumstances you are currently in, whatever challenges and joys you're experiencing, I hope you encounter Christ in this season. As we end this final sermon in the Advent series, Essential Women, I hope your heart is open to hearing about Jesus through unexpected people. I want to leave you with a few reflection questions today. What are the narratives in your life when you might have been overlooked or when you may have overlooked someone else? Who is someone who has spoken prophetically over your life? Have you spoken prophetically over someone else? What is your relationship within your faith community, and are you a contributor? And how have you encountered Jesus in this season of your life? Are you able to respond with praise? Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would be with us in this season. Thank you, Lord, for showing us more about you through Anna. Thank you, Lord, for making the details of our stories worthwhile and using unexpected people to proclaim your name. Lord, I pray that we would receive your words. Please meet with us as we go about our days and weeks. May we encounter you, Lord God, and proclaim your name. May hope, peace, and joy be placed in our hearts, O God. Pour out your love on us that we may pour it forth in our community. We love you, Lord. May we honor and glorify you with our thoughts, words, and deeds. In Jesus' name. Amen.